In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us quieten our hearts this morning in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, giver of all good things, creator of heaven and earth, you who know our very hearts this morning, our personal needs, we at this moment wish to pause to give thanks unto you that you have given us the blessing of life, that you have called us to be your child, that you have allowed us to be members of your kingdom, wherein we find the grace of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can own the promise of eternal life in heaven one day. We thank you, dear Father, that you have granted us in Zion a time of peace, where the work of your kingdom can yet go forward in this ever-darkening world. We pray, dear Father, that you will continue to bless Zion, that you will give each of us such a heart to watch in vigilance and faith, be vigilant in faith, to endeavor to put sin away, to care for one another. We even pray, dear Father, for those who through the deceitfulness of the enemy of souls and through unforgiven sin have lost the way, those prodigal sons and daughters. We would yet pray that you could awaken their heart and conscience while it is yet day, that they could come unto repentance. We yet pray that you could open your word unto those in unbelief to see that this is your kingdom and this is where the saving faith is found. And for our services this morning, dear Father, we pray that you would open your word unto the servants according to your will for this day, and that you would also open the ears of our hearts to be hearers, but also doers of thy word. And we even enclose our prayers this morning in that prayer that your Son has taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Yet this morning, before I read the text, I would wish to bring greetings, the greetings of love and God's peace, not only from my dear wife, but also from the children of God there in my home congregation of Seattle. For a text, I had thought to read the gospel portion that is set aside for this Sunday that is found in the 18th chapter of Matthew. And we'll read through the 10th verse. And the words are, in Jesus' name. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Last evening we heard instruction from the same chapter that the evangelist Matthew has recorded for us. And here we hear this familiar instruction of how, as God's children, we should be as little children. And when we read this, oftentimes it might seem that maybe for us older ones, that we have heard this many times, this instruction. And sometimes, as we get older, I know for myself, it seems that we can begin to get tired of hearing the same simple message over and over again. There in the wilderness journey, we remember how those who were not watchful in their life of faith, who didn't take care to put away sin, it tells us that manna or that bread that God had given them, they began to loathe that bread or despise it. Isn't it so that as God's children we come to the hearing of His Word? We don't come to hear the speaker come up with some great revelation of this text or that text. God in His will and in His way certainly can and does open His Word unto us. But isn't it so that we come to hear that same simple message of the gospel, that same instruction, the ABCs of faith? For we know that it is faith that saves, for without faith it is impossible to please God. And as human beings, we know that when we go through life, we have learned that we carry much sin, corruption, flesh and blood, that wars against the will of God and against the instruction of God's Word. We could say maybe we become somewhat cynical as we grow older. We become impatient. Those simple words, those simple instructions of faith, maybe we might in some ways begin to belittle. Somewhere in the Bible it says that humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He, or God, may exalt you in due time. We have to continually humble our proud hearts. God won't exalt us in this life. But when we die in faith, we are exalted there in heaven with that crown of glory that fadeth not away. This simple and short text here speaks to us of children. And as we came into the service benches this morning and we listened to the benches fill up, what did we hear? What do we even hear now and what we'll hear through our service? We hear little children. As mothers and fathers, sometimes we can want our children and our babies to be quiet in the service. The disciples, they also had this same thought. There was one time where it tells us that the people brought young children to Jesus that he should touch them. In fact, Mark says that they were infants. So we know infants can cry. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "To suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Isn't it so that our flesh suffers? This is not a world of perfection by any means. There is much discomfort and tiredness associated with accepting children into our lives, into our families. Our flesh suffers. When we bring our children to services and we hope that they would sit quietly, our flesh suffers. But even this is according to God's word, as we can see, that Jesus would want us to bring our children there to the hearing of God's word, that they also could learn to live of the gospel of God's kingdom. And so it is we even then can pause to consider how we as believers even believe when it comes to this matter of accepting children into our lives. The other evening we heard our dear brother related that place in Deuteronomy where Moses would shortly depart this life, and he left that long message to those Israelites. And he says that, "I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose therefore life, that thou and thy seed may live." There are those choices that we have before us, and God's word instructs us to choose life. You dear children here this morning, your mothers and fathers have chosen life. This is not a small matter. When we think that God is the giver of life, God is Lord of life and death, and even these matters, we could say, of reproduction, don't we believe in this way that we leave them in the hands of God? There are many ways we could prevent children. And I would say in our time of such a rapid pace of life, of advanced technologies, of materialism, that covetousness can come so close even to us as believers. And even these temptations can come close to a mother and father, to a couple. But even here we need to be reminded that we place our trust in the hands of the Heavenly Father. And when we desire to live our lives according to God's word, then those children come, if and as they will. But even in these matters, our strength is still in that gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation to all that would believe. Even those doubts, as we discussed the other evening, of caring for our children and for our families, even those doubts can be forgiven. These little children are often special messengers of this gospel. We in our homes have a little 2-year-old boy who is just learning to talk. One of the first words he knows is God's peace. And he greets everybody he sees, believers or unbelievers. Even in this, we see that work of God goes forward in such lowly ways, but yet according to the will of God. The theme for the texts of this day are about angels, or Michaelmas, or messengers of God, and we know that angel is named Michael. The Bible names that angel by name. God's Word tells us that God has created the visible and the invisible world. And we could say that these angels that the Bible speaks of, do they perhaps belong to both the visible and the invisible realms? There, at the bedside of our children, sometimes we have talked about angels. And my children would wonder that, are there angels? And why, if so, why can we not see them? I remember my father even assuring us that indeed there are angels, that God has given each child a guardian angel. And so even we remember that place in the Christmas gospel of those angels that appeared there in the heavens, and perhaps we could even look at that place in the second chapter of Luke, starting at verse 8. It tells us, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. I suppose these shepherds were somewhat like us. They were human beings. They were the low class of that society of that day. They were tending their flocks, doing that very laborious work there in the darkness of night. And it tells us, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then it tells us this, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So there was that angel, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. There are angels. There are even angels here this morning with us. The writer to the Hebrews writes of angels, and he says, and perhaps this is familiar to many of us, where he reminds, I believe it is in the 13th chapter, in the second verse, he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I was thinking last evening when we heard our dear sister relate that time that she was given the boldness and love to ask another sister how are matters. And that sister had broke down and began to cry and said that nobody has ever asked me that. I would say that, especially for you, dear young, but for all of us, there may be times in your life, maybe even now, where you carry the burden of sin. You carry heavy doubts. You have fallen. And the enemy of souls would come and would begin to accuse you of all manner of impossibilities, that it is impossible to believe. And it would be your fervent prayer that God would send an angel to you to ask, "How are your matters?" May it be that we as God's children would have such boldness. When we see a troubled one, to ask the question that, "How are your matters?" Even offer that gospel. In this way, we are angels, messengers of God to our brothers and sisters in faith. Even in times of heavy trial, that God can give to some. Hasn't it been so that at those moments in our lives, it has been good to be in God's kingdom, surrounded by the children of God? And haven't we even found comfort when one has such love to come and to be there in our time of trial? Perhaps simply to be present or to listen. I thought to relate a story of several years ago. I wanted to talk hunting with a young man. So I didn't know his phone number, so I had called his mother in a faraway state to get his number. And she had answered the phone and heard my voice and began to cry. And she related that it is as if an angel has called. Little did I know, but she was going through very difficult trials in her life. And I had simply called for another reason. But it can be that in this way that we don't know God's purpose for where we go, or what we do, or who we speak to. But when it is this way that we keep this treasure of living faith, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost in our thoughts and our hearts, and even importantly in our speech and our words, we can be angels one to another. And God in this way works through each of us to help each other to get to heaven. But there is much more to this text here that Jesus wished to teach to his disciples. And we could say even to us this morning, that he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Sometimes it can be so for a servant of the word that we begin to think that we must have ready answers. We must be well learned and studied in Scripture. I would say this temptation perhaps of pride can come especially close to a servant. But I'm sure it also comes close to all of the elders in God's kingdom, to everybody who has come of age. And we know and have experienced how our pride is so powerful. But according to the teaching of Jesus, we have this order in place that we must become as little children. We have, as I mentioned the other evening, again been blessed with another little baby in our home. And when we gaze into the eyes of that little child, we can see a reflection of God's creation work. And sometimes I think of that little child as an angel, innocent and happy. This is how Jesus is describing one who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The little child has not yet come of age to understand, even right from wrong. In these Gospels, there is much instruction for us in this regard. There was one time where it tells us in the 20th chapter of Matthew, in the 20th verse, that then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. And I think Zebedee's children were James and John, the sons of thunder, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She saith unto him, "Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one at thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." And he saith unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." And then it tells us this: "And when the 10 heard it," or those other disciples, "they were moved with indignation against the two brethren," or against James and John. Moved with indignation. So we see there was some jostling amongst the disciples as to who would be the greatest. In Mark, it relates in a slightly different way of this same account. It tells us that Jesus and his disciples had come to Capernaum and they were in this house. Jesus asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" Jesus knows all things. He knew their hearts. He knew that they had had some dispute as they had traveled earlier in the day perhaps. It says, "But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest." This is a good question for us too. Have we even had the enemy of souls tell us that we are somebody in God's kingdom? That our journey has been more successful than the other believers? It's easy for us to look around and to see one struggling in faith and begin to think, "I'm sure glad I haven't had such struggles or fallen into such sins." We don't know the extent of our sinfulness. Luther teaches that if only we knew how sinful a being we are, that we would crumble, our very countenance would crumble. There was a time when Jesus told his disciples there at the Last Supper, he said, "One of you shall betray me." Remember, it was Judas that ended up betraying Jesus, but Peter stood up and vehemently said that he would even go to death before he would deny Jesus. And we remember what happened to Peter. Oftentimes we relate of Peter's fall into sin and into unbelief when he denied his Savior Christ. But in that same account, it tells us that so also said all of the other disciples. Sometimes we forget that even those other disciples, they had that same boldness, that they wouldn't deny Jesus. It wouldn't be them. This thought, we know, came from their sin corrupt flesh and blood. Because isn't it God Himself who gives us the strength to believe? We know that God's Word warns us that he that think he standeth, take heed lest he fall. This is important instruction for all of us. Last evening we heard that place where James writes, and I wasn't familiar with this portion of God's Word, but I had thought this morning how pertinent it was, even to this text, that I believe our brother George had read. In the third chapter of James, beginning with verse 14, it says, "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. But wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." And isn't this pride, this striving to be the greatest, isn't this at its root envying and strife? It says, where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But then it goes on to speak of the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. May it be that we would remember that we are servants, each and every one of us in God's kingdom, that we are servants, and our purpose in this life is to serve one another. I have thought sometimes when reading this text of children, how it is that God has created each of us here this morning in His image and according to His goodwill. God has given us the gift of life. And sometimes we can be discontent and we can become to belittle ourselves, our gifts. Don't let the enemy of souls come and tell you that your life is worthless, that you don't have a purpose or a reason for your being. For God knows each and every one of you here this morning, all the way to the littlest, from the littlest child to the eldest of elders. And God has created you according to His good will. And I would say also that each of you here has somebody that loves you, or perhaps several that love you. This is important to remember. In this world that we live in today, life isn't valued. And in fact, death is elevated. Jesus once told those self-righteous who were tempting Him that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God has given us much. God is a good God. He has given us this life, the blessings of this life to enjoy. But most of all, He has given us the promise of eternal life in heaven one day. Let us remember to bring those talents that God has given us to the exchange table, that He has given every child of God, most importantly that talent, that we can preach sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement, blood. We have found, haven't we, that out of this mouth that God has given us, as James writes in this same chapter, that out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. And James says, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be." He relates here that for many things we offend all, but if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. And James writes of the dangers of our tongue and how quickly that tongue is that member that can cause such sorrow and strife. Even here, we must hang our heads, that before God's word we find that we are great sinners. Have we always spoken good of our brothers and sisters? Or is it rather this way, that those words of impatience have come? Perhaps towards our children we have been quick to yell, to holler, to discipline. We've gone into the flesh. We've been impatient. I know this is how it has been for me. I'm sure it has been this way for you also. Perhaps towards that dear spouse that God has seen fit to give you, have you always had the kindest of words? Uplifting, upbuilding words. We find that we are sin corrupt even in these matters, and it is so easy to offend. But God's word here teaches that whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned at the depth of the sea. What else would cause offense? Didn't we discussed the other evening that sin can break the love amongst the children of God? My heart said amen to the speech the other evening where our brother had related how when one would live in sin, would sin and not take care to put sin away, the conscience can become hardened. Those things which God's children preach as sin or instruct as dangers to the life of faith perhaps don't bother me anymore. It is so important that our conscience would be bound to the Word of God and to what is heard in God's kingdom. For we know that this is the pillar and ground of truth where the Holy Spirit speaks. It is good that we would heed the instruction to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Apostle Paul, when he talked about those things that had caused offense in his time between the Jewish believers and the Gentiles, there was this question of eating meat. The Apostle Paul says that if eating meat offends my brother, he says, I won't eat meat as long as the world stands. This is more than just an offhand remark by Apostle Paul when we think about it. It teaches us of the importance of preserving love amongst the children of God when it comes to matters. The Apostle Paul didn't say that he wouldn't eat meat as long as his brother wasn't around. But he said that he wouldn't eat meat as long as the world stands. It is good that we would not decide for ourselves what we think is right and wrong. There was a time during the time of Judges where the Israelites had come to the land of Canaan. And as they settled in that land, it tells us that there was much society wasn't very organized. There was much chaos and discontinuity. It tells us that in those days there was no king. This is from the 17th chapter of Judges, chapter 6. It says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Have we seen elements of this in our midst as God's children? This is a great danger. When we begin to say that I will accept such and such instruction, but in this matter or that matter, I will forge my own way. Perhaps it is with organized sports, with various types of music, with certain movies or home videos or videos that we could take into our homes. The enemy of souls would like that these things would come into our lives, and he would like us to become accustomed to the things of this world, to those enticements that maybe don't seem so dangerous, that I will try for myself and decide for myself if this is a danger or not. We heard the other evening how important it is that we would preserve faith and a good and a clean conscience so that we would have a discerning conscience. The enemy of souls would wish that our conscience would become hardened, that we could no longer see or discern. Let it not be that we would have such a bold heart that we would decide for ourselves what we think is right and wrong. He that think he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I remember one old speaker brother used this analogy of a tall tree in a forest that is mostly scrubs and brush. When the strong winds come, we could say when the winds of false spirits come, for example, those tall trees in the forest are the first to fall, and that wind goes through and that brush is left there intact. I thought this is a good analogy even in regards to this text, where we are reminded of the importance of being as a little child. What is it about a little child that is different from an older person? Don't we see they have a tender conscience? God, when he can give the gift of a tender conscience to a child of God and can preserve such a conscience through the blood drops of our Lord and Savior Jesus. In this way, we continue then in faith. We can believe the simple message of the gospel. We can endeavor to put sin away when it comes on our heart and conscience. Jesus closes this text with this 10th verse where he says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. I thought of there were, in Hebrews also, I think in the beginning of that letter, the first chapter, 13th and 14th verses, that writer says of these angels again, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" These angels, it says, are ministering spirits. We could say God's children. Those of us who have come here to speak this word, you parents, for your children, you children for your parents, one to another, spouses, that God has given you this gift of faith and wishes that you would take this responsibility to help your loved ones endeavor in their lives of faith. It has always been that there where God's children are gathered, there where a sinner finds himself or herself, has fallen short before the Word of God, there where one has carried sin on their heart and conscience, has felt the burdens and the doubts of this journey, there has always been those angels, those ministering spirits that bring that comfort of the gospel, that good message, those tidings of joy. That dear traveler, be of good comfort, that you can believe all of your sins forgiven in the name and the atonement blood of Jesus. Isn't this that message that our Lord Jesus wishes to turn our gaze to even this morning? That as you find yourself here before God's Word, even in all of these matters that we have before us, that you yet at this moment have permission to believe all of your sins and failings forgiven in the name and the atonement blood of Jesus. And you can be of good comfort. When we but simply believe, isn't it good that we then realize that God has promised in His Word that He will, that Jesus will be with His own every day, even unto the end? This is that message that you can own for yourselves this morning, dear brothers and sisters. And it is that same message that I also want to hear coming here, filled with doubts and even knowing that I have fallen short before this portion of God's Word, that can I yet hear that gospel? I would promise to believe along with you. And we know that this morning we have prepared for us this Lord's Holy Supper. And it is good that when we come and partake of this supper that we can remember that we do this in remembrance of our Lord Jesus. And each of you, I would encourage that you can come as you are. Come boldly, even though it might feel that you have such little faith at this moment in your life, that you can come here to this Lord's Holy Supper to be refreshed in your life of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us quieten our hearts in closing benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.